Mr. Thornberry. A little shaky. I wonder how effective the memory uploading really is. Good enough, Thornberry said. I can remember what we had for dinner the night before we left. And the Guinness that went with it. Then he sank his teeth into a sandwich. And you? Jordan asked. How do you feel? Thornberry swallowed before answering. All right, more or less. Cold. Deep inside, I feel cold. I don't know that I'll ever feel warm again.
Psychosomatic, I imagine.
All? And who made you a psychotechnician?
That stung. Of the dozen men and women on the ship, Jordan alone was neither a scientist nor an engineer. He was merely the head of the mission. As brightly as he could manage, Jordan changed the subject. The artificial gravity system seems to be working fine after all these years. Thornberry shrugged.
It's just a big Ferris wheel. Nothing exotic about it.
No, I suppose not.
Here we are.
Turning, Jordan saw his younger brother Brandon entering the wardroom together with Elise Radaki, the Iranian astrophysicist. Brandon looked like an improved edition of Jordan. Younger, taller, handsomer. Brandon's nose was thinner, nobler, his eyes a shade lighter. When he smiled, he could light up a room. Like Jordan, he wore a turtleneck shirt and comfortable denim jeans. Elise looked like royalty. Tall, slim, elegant, her sculpted face unsmiling, utterly serious. Her complexion was light, almost pale, a stunning contrast to her thick, lustrous dark hair, which she had piled high on her head, making her look even taller, more regal. Although she was wearing a casual blouse of light blue atop darker slacks, Jordan pictured her in a glittering red and gold sari. But he thought she seemed somewhat uncertain of herself, as if slightly disoriented from drugs or drink. The upload, Jordan told himself. It's not perfect. Then he thought, perhaps she's frightened. We're a long way from home. Or perhaps you're just projecting your own fears. Getting to his feet again, Jordan smiled as he held out a chair for her. Welcome to Sirius C, Elise. Before she could reply, Brandon gasped.
My God, Jordy, your hair's turned totally white.
Forcing a smile, Jordan replied, I prefer to think of it as silver. Rather becoming, don't you think?
I guess so,
Brandon said uncertainly.
Do you feel okay?
I feel fine, Jordan assured him. Still looking doubtful, Brandon turned toward the wall display and called to the voice recognition system.
Display screen, show us news broadcasts from Earth.
No, wait.
Don't get huffy with me, Jordy. We can look at the planet anytime. I want to see what's happening back home, don't you?
With a resigned nod, Jordan replied, I suppose so. Elise still stood beside him while Jordan held her chair. The wall screen broke into a dozen separate pictures. The IAA is beaming news and entertainment vids to us, Jordan remembered. It's all automatic, pre-programmed, and it's all 8 years old. The screens showed cities that looked unfamiliar to Jordan. Women dressed in strange styles, newscasters wearing what looked like uniforms, sports matches that looked superficially like football and cricket and even tennis, but not quite right, distorted, changed. Where's the flooding and disasters Ionescu showed me? Jordan wondered. Then he realized the newscasts and entertainment vids carefully avoided such unpleasantries.
Palm trees in Boston? Brandon marveled.
Elise said,
The fashions are very revealing.
Must be summertime, said Thornberry.
Everywhere?
80 years have passed on Earth, Jordan pointed out. Everything is slightly different. It's not the same world that we left behind us. Thornberry wiped his mouth with his napkin and commented,
That's the way things were back home some 8 years ago. It's taken 8.5 years for those signals to get from Earth to here.
8.6 years, Jordan murmured.
Ah, who's counting?
Thornberry wisecracked. But Brandon did not smile.
Look at them, going about their lives perfectly normally.
There doesn't seem to be any wars, said Elise, her voice hushed, subdued. No violence.
All the news nets aren't showing any, said Brandon.
All mission control decided not to let us see any, Jordan said.
Saints alive!
Thornberry pointed at one of the screens.
Look! There's people scuba diving through a drowned city!
They all stared at the underwater scene.
It looks like Sydney, Thornberry muttered.
Look! There's the Opera House, half underwater!
But not a word about us, Brandon grumbled.
That newscast is 8 years old, Thornberry pointed out.
Brandon insisted. They knew we'd have arrived at our destination, but there's nothing in the news about it.
I think I know why, Jordan said. Outcasts. Thornberry looked up at Jordan from beneath his shaggy brows.
Do you know?
What is it? Brandon demanded.
Let's wait until the others get here, Jordan said. I'll explain it to all of you at once.
Thornberry looked curious, Elise worried. Brandon put on the irritated look that Jordan had seen all his brother's life, half sulking, half impatience. One by one, the other members of the team filtered into the wardroom. Three more women, five men. They all looked uncertain, a bit shaky. Only to be expected after an 80-year sleep, Jordan thought. You didn't look too peppy yourself those first few minutes. How will they feel once they've heard the news I have to tell them? He asked himself. The others helped themselves to food and drink, then slowly sat at the tables and watched the screen displays from Earth. Brandon sat himself beside Elise and said,
All right, Jordy, we're all here. What is it that you've got to tell us?
Jordan stepped in front of the wall screen and looked at the 11 of them. Four women, seven men, their eyes focused on him.
I'm afraid I have some disappointing news, he began. There isn't going to be a backup mission.
What?
No backup, but the IAA. What do you mean? There's been a second wave of greenhouse flooding, Jordan tried to explain. Even worse than the original floods 5 generations ago. The World Council has reneged on the backup missions. They've got too much reconstruction and resettlement to do.
But we've seen nothing about such flooding on the news vids, said Harmon Meek, springing to his feet.
The team's astrobiologist, Meek, was a scarecrow of a man, tall and almost painfully thin, all bones and gangling limbs. He was dressed almost formally in a starched white shirt and a dark brown ascot, no less, with neatly creased trousers of charcoal gray. His thick mop of sandy blonde hair looked as if it hadn't seen a brush in 80 years. His eyebrows were so pale they were almost invisible, and the cold blue eyes beneath them looked terribly perplexed.
I'm afraid the vids were edited by the IAA, Jordan said.
Nonsense, Meek snapped. I don't believe you.
Jordan smiled wanly at the astrobiologist, so full of righteous indignation. He commanded the communication system to show Ionescu's message. Meek sank back into his chair, and the team watched the message from Earth, with its scenes of devastation, in shocked silence.
That's Volgograd, said Tanya Vereshkova in a choked whisper. Flooded. Look at the refugees. Miles of them.
So that's the situation, Jordan said once the images winked off. It doesn't change our circumstances, really. But it means that when we leave, there won't be a backup team to take over from us, or on its way. Jeffrey Hazard, the astronautical engineer and nominal captain of their ship, muttered, Just like Apollo.
What do you mean?
Elise Rudaki said. Hazard was an African-American from Pennsylvania, tall and rangy, his skin the color of mocha, his long-jawed face slightly horsey-looking, although his dark eyes were large and expressive. The first missions to the moon, he explained. They put 12 men on the moon inside of a few years, then stopped altogether. It was more than half a century before anybody went back.
Well, Jordan said, trying to put up as good a face as possible, we all knew we'd be pioneers in exploring New Earth. Now we're even more so.
From his seat beside Elise, Brandon gave out a bitter laugh.
Pioneers, are we? We're all outcasts, that's what we are.
Outcasts, is it? Thornberry snapped.
Pointing to the wall screen displays of the news vids from Earth, Brandon said,
Outcasts? Gone and forgotten. 12 people sent to explore a planet, a whole world. Just the 12 of us.
Mildly, Jordan said to his brother, Bran, we're merely the first 12 to be sent here. There will be others, you know, in time. You think so?